Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the saga of Shane Gillis versus Nick Saban has lasted. It's been living rent-free in my mind, that's for sure.
It's Shane Gillis' one flaw that he's a Notre Dame fan, but this was still very funny.
That's his one flaw.
Yeah.
Okay. Your hate for them is something special. Mm.
Especially with my newfound Irish heritage. I'm struggling.
Oh.
Struggling, juxtaposing those two things.
We remember Shane Gillis on the set of College Game Day prior to the Indiana-Notre Dame game of the first round of the college football playoff. He had this with Nick Saban after calling him a cheater.
That's why I spazzed and talked on Saban. Like the
hold on.
You called him a cheater earlier.
I was just joking around. I don't think the SEC paid players ever.
Period.
I'm joking. Is this not a fun show?
No.
It's a serious show?
Serious football.
Like, Alabama Jones is very serious.
No, I'm not serious.
Get the whip, Indy.
I do believe in integrity.
Yeah, I always
tried to run the program that way so players had a better chance to be successful
Amen.
In life.
I agree.
We make more money in the NFL than any other school, 61 players in the league. That was how we cheated. We developed players.
It got uncomfortable. Nick Saban, you could tell, was upset during that when a stand-up comedian makes a joke. And that was after, you know, McAfee sets that up by saying you called him a cheater earlier.
Yeah. Because he's taking it on because they've talked a little bit.
Well, we finally have the backstory and we have Shane Gillis's version. And the ending may be better than we could have expected.
That's why I spazzed and talked on Saban, like the because he was like, "What do you think about the game?" And I was like, "I don't know. Nick Saban cheated." It was just a full spaz.
It was so good, though.
I mean, that I'd like to explain that because that was so. After I said that, we had to go into the stadium to sit at the desk. Then I got in there, and right before we go on, he looks at me and he's like, "I heard what you said," and I was like, "Holy shit." And then Herb Street and McAfee were like, "He's just breaking your balls, dude. He loves messing with guys. Like, he's literally just." And I was like, "Oh, all right. I'll f*** with him back." I would have never done that if I thought he was serious.
Yeah.
But they told me he was f***ing around, so I started f***ing with him. And then as soon as we get done, I tell Herb Street and McAfee, I'm like, "Bro, he was definitely serious." And they're like, "No way he was serious. Go talk to him." So I went up to him after news, like, "You think the SEC dominated because we cheated? That's bullshit." And he spazzed on me.
Were you helping him?
But then, so he was still on the stage and I was on the field. So after he yelled at me, I had to help him down. And he like looked around to see if anybody else could help him, but I had to help him down.
It's great. You know why Saban got mad?
What, because he did?
He did. He said it on draft day.
Oh, with the tampering?
Yeah.
Like, the tampering and the portal stuff?
Like, if you think if he said that willingly, you don't think that he was handing out bags before? And to be clear, this isn't, throwing, stones in glass houses.
Yeah.
Lendell White went out there and said $150,000 in cash appeared once a month on my bed in my apartment.
Yeah.
And good.
Well, I mean, Nick Saban would like you to believe USC was the only team to be doing that. That's why they got hit.
Yeah, and it's
with
like
NCAA sanctions.
No, man,
of course.
Everybody was doing it, and they should have been doing it, and they were doing it. Hell, there was a human highlight reel. Dominique, he was talking about how back in his day, if you're in North Carolina, like him decommitting from North Carolina State and leaving the ACC to go to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a big, big deal.
There was, there's the reports and stuff of John Wooden had a bag man at UCLA.
Yeah, you don't win 10 straight titles without that. But I mean, he went, and the Neat goes like, oh, they got, you know, they got the bag. He goes, well, yeah. And this is in the early 80s.
My favorite part, well, we talked with Brian Jones about this at the Army-Navy game where he was like...
openly admitted it!
Yeah, he took a pay cut when he went to the NFL from UCLA. Like, yeah, he did.
And UCLA wasn't that good then!
But I don't think that that is the most entertaining part of that. The most entertaining part is where he said at the end... he had to help Nick Saban off the stage. If you don't know, those stages are elevated probably like 5 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And so Shane Gillis, as Nick Saban is yelling at him, that's BS, is looking down on him from the top of the stage. And so I can only imagine Shane Gillis like holding his hands out like he's a dad trying to catch his little kid jumping off a counter.
Because for those of you that have never seen Shane Gillis, he's a big dude. He's a big dude.
Yeah, like, he was recruited to go play at Army, which may not indicate he's that big of a dude because those guys weren't really all that big, but he's tall.
That was one of the funny things when we were on the field at Army-Navy. We looked around after they sang. They weren't much bigger than us. Like, it was...
very small.
That was a, this does not feel like I'm on the field for Oregon USC.
I love the fact that McAfee and Herb Street are to blame for Shane Gillis calling Nick Saban Alabama Jones. And it was because they thought he was busting his balls and Nick Saban was not. Nick Saban was very upset about it. And I bet Saban was upset with Herb Street and McAfee for bringing it up and laughing about it in that exchange where he was called Alabama Jones because...
they ragged him on.
They thought he was... it was everybody's having a good time. We're yucking it up. It's chuckle time.
No, because the only one laughing wasn't Nick because it insulted his pride. Insulted the SEC.
I think it's even more impressive if he were to come out and be like, yeah... yeah, well, I mean, that's how you won back then. Well, that's how you won.
He came out and was like, yeah, I did it. Mark Richt did it.
We did it better.
Les Miles did it. Herb did it. We all did it. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah. The Meat Market is the book, and that's about Ole Miss's recruiting under Ed Orgeron. But Stephen Godfrey was the author of that, and he wrote Bagman, which was an expose on the Bagman culture in the SEC. Go ahead and read that.
Yeah.
That is, they talk about it all the time. And it's like a community. Back in the day, it was a community of bagmen. And they had like these unwritten rules that they would operate under.
Yeah. You don't go where I go. I don't go where you go. We don't rat each other out.
Yeah.
It's like mafioso type stuff. Like, yeah, this is your territory. This is our territory. We don't, you know, and then you get the territory wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the things that popped up.
Yeah, it's called Meet the Bagman, 10 Rules for Paying College Football Players.
What's more impressive, that the Bagman have never really been outed publicly, or that the players, all of the players, over such a long period of time, kept their mouths shut? Because to me, it's being the players keeping their mouths shut. Kids keeping their mouths
families,
shut about money.
Families keeping their mouths shut.
Yeah.
Because the players had something to lose, but the families that feel like they should have gotten more, like that, that's the other thing, is the kids keeping their mouths shut within the locker room to be able to not say how much money they were getting, because then that would upset somebody else. Mm-hmm. That was a big
one. It's tough.
Heck yeah!
Because kids, doesn't matter what generation it is, cell phones or not, you want to stunt on them a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder if that was it. Like Saban was like, you know what I'm upset about? All these kids know how much each other are making now because it all has to be public.
We used to be a lot cheaper about it.
We used to play by a set of morals and ethics here, where we didn't know how much each guy was getting paid. Mm. You never ask a person. I wonder if that was like the introduction.
That's
like,
the thing that kills him.
You know what number one rule in business is? Never ask somebody how much they get paid. Mm. You know? Now everybody knows.
And that's what's bothering them.
That's what got all the kids to shut up. Is they're like, hey, you never ask somebody that question.
According to the recruiting index, Shane Gillis, 6'4", 275-pound lineman coming out for Army.
Oh, look at that.
So he's a large man.
Yeah.
He's a large man.
Yeah.
Not too bad. High school senior, 6'4", 275.
That's a very large high school senior.
Yeah.
Yeah. He must have been slow. Because you would have thought, like, schools would be like...
And he's from Pennsylvania. Like, he's from a football, you know, hotbed.
And it was only Army that recruited him.
It's funny to think about, considering what we just saw at Army-Navy, and, like, picturing Shane Gillis at West Point.
Not a guy who would fit that.